May the Lord bless us this afternoon. I have a little something on my heart. I was impressed with the Sunday school. Seemed like he had a bunch of thoughts that the Lord had been dealing with me on, and he even used some scriptures that I had, and I want to use a scripture and make that the foundation of the basis of what I speak about this afternoon. And I'd like for us, if you would want to turn to your Bibles in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, in the first verse. And it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. God, in his mercy and his love to mankind, has been very faithful in communication. He's been very faithful to communicate things to us that we need. Things that to us that we need to understand or get a hold of that will support us or sustain us as we go along life's way. Because we don't know what we're going to face, we don't know what we're going to deal with. But God has always been faithful to reveal things to us. And I want to talk just for a little bit this afternoon about the prophets and how important that they were. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The kings of the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, they had prophets that were sent to them in their day. Men that got a revelation or a message from the Lord, and they came to bear the message to the kings, to help the kings to do right, to help them to understand whether they were to go into battle or not go into battle, to help them understand the right way to lead and guide God's people. I wish that we had that today. I wish our president and our leaders had someone that was spiritually minded, sent from God, to be able to give them understanding or help them to get understanding to know the mind of the Lord. Because really, we would be a lot better off, wouldn't we, if we knew what the mind of the Lord was. If we knew the direction the Lord would have us to take, and not just man's wisdom alone, but we need the wisdom of God. But I think about the sundry times and in divers manners he spake unto the prophets. Back in the Old Testament, we find so much running through the lessons that we read, but we see things how God spoke to the people back in those days. We think of visions, the visions that he gave them back then. You read the sixth chapter of Isaiah, and you see the vision that he had from God, where he saw God high and lifted up. And the door was shaken when he filled the room, when the glory of God filled the room. And God gave Isaiah a vision, and Isaiah went and he based his prophecy or his life's work on the message that God had given him, because he told him to go and talk to the people. And then there were times when you had David come along, and David, he was a bloody man as far as the way he lived his life. He fought wars, and he was in a lot of wars, and he did those kinds of things, and he was a man that got in trouble with God many times. But David was a man whose heart was lent towards poetry. And through David and through the book of Psalms, we have poems that are given to us to help God speak to us and reveal things to us that we might not be able to understand any other way. There were face-to-face conversations back in those days. There were times when God came down and spoke to Moses face-to-face, told Moses what he wanted done, how he wanted it done, and so forth. And there were times when God handled the situation that way. And there was a time, when Moses went up into the mountain and God spoke to him through tablets of stone. And he gave him the Ten Commandments. And it was a government that they was to live by, to know a moral government, if you will, to know what is right, to know what is wrong. God revealed himself to them in those places. There were times in the Old Testament where God worked and spoke to the people in miracles. There were miracles in the Old Testament. There was a time when an axe fell into the water and God caused the axe head to swim until he was able to reach in and pick it up. There were times when a young child died and Elijah, I believe it was, laid upon the child and brought it back to life. There was miracles then, and it was a way of God speaking to the people back in those days. There was a time when God would even send the angels. God still sends the angels sometimes. We don't see them maybe. But there were times when God sent an angel. Remember when Daniel was in the lion's den? And God spoke to them back then, and the king came and said, is the God that you serve able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions? And he said, O king, live forever. Because God this night has sent an angel, close the mouth of the lions and protect me from the lions. So there was a lot of different ways that God revealed himself to them in the Old Testament times. But there were a lot of prophets that God had sent. Some were believed and some were not believed. Some were accepted and some were not accepted. We have in our Bible, in the Old Testament, we call Isaiah and Jeremiah and maybe even Ezekiel, maybe we call them, we would think of them as the major prophets. But I want you to consider this afternoon the minor prophets. They're not minor in the word that was given them. They're not minor in as far as the influence of what they had on the kings that they were sent to and so forth. But they're called minor prophets. They're small books. They're written in different poetic ways and all kinds of different ways, maybe that is maybe hard to understand. But the minor prophets were very important. And I want us to consider just a couple. Can't talk about them all. But if you want to turn to it in your Bibles, I want to consider the prophet Zephaniah. Now I suppose when you sit down to read your Bibles, you want a good morning devotion, you probably don't think too much about opening your Bibles to the book of Zephaniah. Every word, remember this, every word that was put in this Bible, in this word, every book that we have was a canon from God. It was written by men that were inspired by the Holy Spirit to reveal God's word or God's truth to us, the humanity, the humankind. It was revealing God's word to us. And there isn't any word that was put in this Bible for a filler. It's all important to us. And we all need to understand that. Even Zephaniah. Zephaniah was known as a judgment prophet. He was a judgment prophet. His view was to all lands and to all nations. He was interested and prophesied according to their spiritual concerns their future and the condition that they were at the time when he was a prophet and he was sent to them. Let's just read for our edification, Zephaniah, the first chapter, the first seven verses I'd like to read. And the word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Jedidiah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. So he had a message. He had a message from the Lord. He's called or known as a minor prophet. He said, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand upon it, upon Judah, and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Chimerims with the priest. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm, and them that turn back from me, the Lord, turn back from me, Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his angels. Really, if you read the entire book of Zephaniah, you may not understand a whole lot of it, but Zephaniah was a judgment prophet. He was trying to warn the people, you better get ready. There is a day of the Lord. The Lord hadn't come yet, but there is a day that the Lord would come, and there was a day when they would be judged by this Lord. And he was sending out a warning, and he was telling them, giving them an exhortation. If you'll read it through, you'll find that he was exhorting them to repent. They needed to repent of their sins. They needed to turn to God, and he gave them a hope and a promise of salvation. That's Zephaniah. You probably haven't read much in Zephaniah, some of you folks. But I tell you, he was very important, and he was very profitable in his time and his day. My understanding is that God sent him out when Josiah was king of Israel, and God used him to minister to that king, and God used him in many wondrous ways. But his burden was to repent and to get salvation and be ready for the Lord. It says, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. So this is just one of the minor prophets that the Lord sent out to his to the kings that was there and to the people, and how they were living, and reminding them that they were turning away from God. They were living loose lives and living loose ways, and they wasn't keeping God their focus in their life. And God, in his mercy and his love, he sent these men. He sent this men to warn them, to stir them up, to get their attention, to help them to understand and realize what God had in mind. You know, that's the way it is today. People don't seem to think about what God has in mind today. They're thinking about their own selves and their own lives. Do you know what the Bible says? To me, the bottom line of where we are today and why we are where we are today. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, that says this is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. Folks, we are living in a time when we need these minor prophets, these men of God that were sent out to warn the people, to remind the people of what it was they needed to do and get down before God. Folks, today people have lost the fear of God. We don't have the fear of God upon this land anymore. The Bible also says the wicked will be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. That's where we are today. It's kind of frightening to me to think about it. But the whole duty, my whole duty is to fear God. Let us never lose the fear of God upon our hearts. Fear God and keep His commandments. Now that's not a whole lot to ask. That's not a whole lot to do. God doesn't confuse our minds with all kinds of things in order to be prepared and get ready and all that. Just fear God and keep His commandments. And that's what His prophets did. They went out and they gave these messages to the people and to the kings and helped prepare the way of the Lord. And God used them to Isaiah, for instance. I know he wasn't a minor prophet, but he prophesied a lot of the Lord. Jeremiah prophesied a lot of the Lord. They were abused. They were misused. People threw stones at them. They put them into prisons. They put them into wells and so forth. They did all kinds of things to them, but they were faithful to God. God told them, he said, don't be afraid of their faces. You tell them what I want you to tell them. Don't be afraid of their faces. It's not their faces that you're going to meet at the day of judgment. It's God's face that you're going to meet. He's the one you're going to give an account to of how you've lived your life and the deeds done in your body. So Zephaniah, he was just a minor prophet. I wanted to point him out a little bit and maybe help us understand him a little bit more. You might want to read him sometimes and see some of the things that he has to say. The other prophet that I'd like to speak to you about is Zechariah. Zechariah. He had more messianic prophecies than any other minor prophet. He talked or spoke about Christ more than any other minor prophet. The very tone of his message was in one of encouragement. He was sent to encourage the people. How do you encourage the people, but you challenge them with what God has to say? You remind them, you warn them, you tell them, you be encouraged, you get ready, you do what you need to do, fear God and keep His commandments. His tone was one of encouragement, and he was determined to encourage the people, and God called him and sent him to do those kind of things. He focused. And you read his writings in Zechariah. There's a lot of things. There's a scripture in Zechariah. We know what it says, don't we? He said, not by might, nor by spirit, but by my power, thus saith the Lord. Zechariah gave us those words. And it's not by might, my might. It's not by your might. It's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of God. That's how He does everything. That's how He works in this time's world. Is through His Spirit in dealing and working with people. But I wanted to read, I would like to focus on a little bit of a vision that he had. He had a vision. And it's the third chapter that I'd like to look at for just a little bit. In his writings here, as you read through it, he talks about Zerubbabel. He talks about encouraging the people to rebuild the temple that had been torn down. And God sent messengers out to do this. You know, people follow, and they need to be encouraged. It's so easy for people to get discouraged today. And God knew that, and so He sent people out like Zechariah to encourage the people. But it says here, and let's look at this in the third chapter, and He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the Lord and Satan standing at His right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Can we identify with that? Can we get a hold of that? That's what God did for us, isn't it? He saw that we had on filthy garments. He saw that we needed a change of raiment, clothes. He saw that we needed a robe of righteousness. And God did just at his word. He said, I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt, see how he's encouraging the people here? If thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, fear God. I go back to that again. Fear God and keep his commandments. And if thou wilt keep my charge, that's his commandments, then thou shalt also judge my house and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sat before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I bring forth my servant, praise the Lord, the branch. He's letting them know that he being restored, the people will be restored by the branch. That branch is capitalized. It's Jesus Christ. It's our Lord and our Savior. Behold the stone that I've laid before Joshua, the stone that the builders refused, the one that was rejected. He said for us to let the stone fall on us. Was it? Not let the stone fall on us. But you and I are to fall upon the stone, which is Jesus Christ. He said, behold the stone that I have laid before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes, which is completeness in the word of God. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, in Old Testament, minor prophet writings, is talking about this day, the day that you and I live in. This is the day of the Lord. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Now I want us to notice in the vision that Zechariah received here about Joshua. I want us to notice something about how the enemy works here, how the enemy works on you and I today. It says, he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Do you know Satan is standing at your right hand today? He's coming before you when you go out and you get involved with life and you're making decisions in life. Satan will stand right there before you and say, I'm your right hand man. I'll give you the good counsel. I'll tell you exactly what to do. I'll lead you in the right way. But he was there only to resist him. He was there to cause him trouble. Do you know that the devil, he wants to get to you. He wants to get to every one of us. And this is how mean that the enemy is. He will work through the one nearest, the one dearest to you, but it's you that he wants. He might fall, he might cut down about four or five trees all around you, but it's you, the tree. It's you that he wants. It's you that he wants to discourage. It's you that he wants to cause to give up on the Lord. It's you that he wants to do damage to. But he'll use all these other people around you. He'll use all these other people around me. I may love them dearly. And many times they do what they're doing and don't realize what they're doing. And they're being used by the enemy. And they really don't know. But the enemy is trying to get to me, see. Yeah. He's trying to get to you. And he'll work through anything and anyone that he can to get to you, folks. And I want you to remember that tonight, today. Well, this afternoon, whatever time it is. I want you to remember that. He showed me. See, this was just a vision. The high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. High priest tells us one thing. Tells us that he was a man of God. It tells us that he was one that ministered and to the people and worshiped God. But it says the high priest was standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan at his right hand resisting. I want you to never forget whoever you are this afternoon. Don't ever forget that when you're trying to make a step forward to God, the devil is always right there to resist you. He doesn't want you and I to draw near to God. The scripture gives us the recipe of what you and I are to do when we are struggling with life. He said, draw nigh to God and resist the devil and draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. But don't try to resist the devil until you've drawn nigh unto God. Draw nigh to God first. Get God's strength. Get God's grace. Get God's help as we fight our personal battles and we go through this walk of life. And folks, we're not any of us immune to this. We all have to deal with this thing. This isn't anything new. I realize that. It isn't anything that anyone is immune to because we all have to face those things. We all have an enemy that stands at our right hand. Our right hand man. I'm your right hand man, but I'm here to resist you. I'm here to cause you trouble. I'm here to cause you to make decisions that you shouldn't make. Choices that you shouldn't make. Quick decisions that will affect the rest of your life. Our young people today, be careful, folks. I'm thankful for our married young people. But I tell you, people out there today, they make quick decisions about getting married, who they're going to marry, how they're going to marry. They make those quick decisions. It doesn't take very long and they just step right into it, but it lasts the rest of their lives. It affects them in many ways. It's a trap, isn't it? It's a trap that the enemy has. And God sent Zechariah here and he told us about a man of God that was standing before an angel of the Lord and Satan there. See, we can't see Satan, but he's there. And he's standing at the right hand to resist us, to challenge us, to cause us to do wrong. So many times in my prayers I say, Lord, help me to do right when I don't understand even what right is. I don't understand everything, do you? I don't know everything, do you? We don't know it all, folks. But we know a God that is able to help us to do right even when I don't know what right is. Even whenever the enemy is standing at my right hand to resist me, God can help me to overcome and conquer that and be faithful at my post of duty. And those that are around me and those that offend me and those that say things they ought not to say, do things that they ought not to do, Lord, just give me grace not to be offended. Help me to be strong. Help me to have the grace of God just to forgive and go on and be everything you want me to be. You can't keep me out of heaven, folks. You can try. You can say what you want to say or do what you want to do, but you can't keep me out. Can't keep me out. Heaven's not that easy for me to miss that you can keep me out of it. I'm the only one that can keep myself out of it. I don't want to have bad attitudes. I don't want to have bad thoughts. But I want to be able to handle myself in a way that would please God. Lord, I want to do right, even if I don't understand what right is. And I don't always understand. You don't always understand either. But I'll tell you, if you'll be still, as we said this morning, and you'll wait on the Lord will show you what right is. And he'll lead you in a path. He said he would take us down and straighten out the crooked paths. He would winnow with our way and make our path straight. And he will do that for us. And before he got this, or when he got this salvation that he saw in this vision, God gave him some clean clothes, didn't he? He cleaned him up. That's what he does for us. He cleans us up. He fits us for the Christian walk. As we walk with the Lord, God will do that for us. That's encouragement. It's a tone of encouragement that Zechariah has for us and had for them back in those days. Sometimes these minor prophets, and there's other minor prophets, we call them minor prophets, and their messages are good too. Haggai and some of the other, Obadiah, there's only one book, one chapter. But he's, you know what he said in that chapter? He said, on Mount Zion there shall be holiness and there shall be deliverance. And that one chapter on Mount Zion, you and I enjoying Mount Zion today, there shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. And he said, my people will possess their possessions. We can possess this, folks. We can overcome by the grace of God. We can get victory in our walk with the Lord. The restoration by the branch. The branch, Jesus Christ, that came into this world for you. He came into this world for me. We're coming up on Christmas. It's just a little over a week away that we celebrate. Folks, it's time. We should be a lot of times, but let's think about what God has done for us. Let's think about what that means for us. When Jesus came into this world, he came to his own. They didn't receive him, but I want to receive him in my heart and life. I want him to be effective in what I do and what I say and how I act and the attitudes that I have. I want people to see Christ, and I know you do too. Jesus came. Let's turn back to that and read that again. He said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by also whom he made the world. In the Old Testament writings, from the visions, the poetry, all the different things that were said, the prophets that were sent out, the prophets were very important. But all that was fragmented. It was piece by piece by piece. That's how it came in the Old Testament time. But in the New time, the truth came by Jesus Christ. It was not fragmented. It was whole. It was to the point. And it was everything that you and I need to enjoy our salvation that we're able to get through Jesus Christ. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that. He said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And I want to just read that. See, Brother Rick read it this morning. But I want to read it again for the sake of edification. First chapter of John. In these last days, the prophets were important. The Old Testament was important. It was a type and a shadow of the time that you and I are living in. And we are living in the fulfillment of the Old Testament time. Because Jesus Christ has come. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life, the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ came for one reason. One reason. We can say a lot of different things that he did. But he came for one reason, and that's to give you and I eternal life. Eternal life is in Christ Jesus. He is the only one that can give you and I eternal life. This life, Bible says, is in His Son, Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful this afternoon, in these last days, spoken to us by His Son. You know, I want to bring out something about Peter, the Apostle Peter. You know, the Lord gave him a vision, didn't He? This is New Testament teaching. But he got a vision of the sheet. Remember the sheet that was let down, and he saw all manner of beasts, four-footed and beasts and all these kind of things. And the Lord said, rise up, kill and eat. He said, oh no, he said, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's forbidden unto us to eat those kind of things. And the Lord said, what I have blessed. When God puts His hand on it, it makes a difference, doesn't it? When God puts His hand on your life, it makes a difference. I don't care what you were in the past. I don't care what you did in the past. If God has put His hand on you, folks, and touched you, you're a changed person. And that's what God had to reveal unto Peter. Peter had a hard time understanding that the Gentiles was to receive this glorious gospel just like he was. Had a hard time understanding that. And then God began to talk to Cornelius because he'd been praying, hadn't he? He'd been praying, and God said, you send for Peter. Now he didn't send that angel over to tell Cornelius how to live and what to do, but he sent a man over there. He sent a human instrument over there to preach, to teach the word of God to Cornelius that he could have understanding. You know, the secret to a man a lot of times is another man. We can hear something by word. We can maybe see something by God's plan. But it's so necessary for us humans to have another man. A woman to have another woman. Whatever how you want to say it. It's so necessary. It opens our understanding. It helps us to trust. It helps us to believe when we hear it from another man. So Cornelius sent for Peter, and God had already prepared him. Cornelius was a Gentile, but God already prepared him. He was just a clean vessel, just like Peter was. And God wanted to bestow upon him the plan of salvation. All those prophets back in all those days. It's taken years and years and years. But as I said in the Sunday school lesson this morning, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. God wasn't in a rush to get all this accomplished. He had a plan. And He still has a plan. You're in the plan. You're in the plan. Whatever it is, you're in the plan. And Satan may be standing at the right hand to resist you, but stay in the plan. God will give you a change of raiment. He'll bless your life. He'll protect you, and He'll help you through your decisions that you make in life. I'd like to read one more scripture in closing. In Acts, the book of Acts, the 8th chapter and the 14th verse, it says, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Samaria had received what? The word of God. Don't overlook that. Don't miss the importance of that. Because it says, when they had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive what? Folks, this is the fulfillment in Christ. This is the complete plan. The word of God, given by the unction of the Holy Spirit. Had a young minister called me this week and was asking me questions about things and how to minister and what I meant by the spirits, when you're speaking to spirits. Folks, there are spirits out there. They may not be in here today, but many times when you go to a place like Monarch and you're preaching the word, you're speaking to spirits out there. There's lying spirits. There may be murderous spirits. There may be drugs. There may be alcoholic spirit. There may be all kinds of spirits out there. Do you know whose responsibility it is to have the anointing that God has for us? You know whose responsibility it is that the powers of those spirits be broken, that those souls can be saved? It's the preacher's responsibility, folks. He needs to have the anointing. The anointing is the authority of God. It's the Holy Spirit. That's where the power is. You'll receive power after that the Spirit has come upon you. I told the Lord many, many years ago when I saw the direction He was taking me in my ministry. I said, I need your Spirit and I need your anointing in order to be effective in ministering to your people. And we still need it today, folks. We need it today. The completeness. God's plan is complete. They heard the word, and when the disciples came, they prayed that they would receive the Spirit. That's the completeness. You don't need anything else. You just need more of it. Just more of it. It's not that you need anything else. If you've got the Word and you love the Word and you've sought the Lord and you've received the Holy Spirit, you've got the completeness of God's plan in these last days has spoken to us by His Son. It didn't come in fragments, folks. It didn't come from this man, that man, and so forth. It came from Jesus Christ. It came in its completeness. It came in its solid form, if you will, for you and I to be able to receive the greatest blessing that God has to give mankind. His salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that this afternoon. I appreciate your time and your attention and trust that maybe there was something said that might be a blessing to you. Amen.